Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Shanti, for sharing. And thank you, Nikki, for praying. All right. As was announced, Sister Lily will be sharing with the church about her experiences. She'll be showing a few slides and all that. So I just want to let you know, we'll also be presenting a memento to her because she has been here for the past 3 years. So if at all you would like to watch this on YouTube, you can see it at 12 o'clock. We will try to do it after the message is over at 12, up to 12, 12, 12:05. So if at all you would like to watch it, and if you go back home and you still want to see what Lily is sharing, you can join us on YouTube during that time. We won't be putting it on YouTube after that. So most likely you have to be seeing it live. All right, I've been sharing with you for the past 2 weeks now on the kingdom and the gospel, the true gospel. And we saw a few things last week. And I'll be ending this message, this series, by giving you the title of The True Gospel, Deliverance and Freedom. The True Gospel, Deliverance and Freedom. I've been sharing with you about how God has called us, not only Israel, but God has called us also to be a kingdom of priests unto God. And we just saw from Exodus, the heart of God, when we talk about kingdom, it's very important to get the right perspective because it is so varied. The church today has such a lot of perspectives on the kingdom. Because in politics there is this term called far right and far left. You heard of this? Far right and far left. The same way even about the kingdom. There are people extreme far right views. There are people extreme far left views. What is it about the kingdom that is so very important for us to know? It is. I am not able to give you the entire picture completely, but at least I have been trying to give at least part of the picture that we need to have. And that's why we took that verse where God says in Exodus, I want a kingdom of priests. You see, it is not just a kingdom where all of us are kings. You see, God says, I want a kingdom of priests. That's a very strange term. If we don't listen to it, we won't be able to grasp it. What is God meaning by that? And we also saw, it's interesting to see how Paul interprets this. I mean, Paul so beautifully sometimes interprets the Old Testament scriptures for us. And look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 16, because the moment we hear the word priest, we have this picture of a church and a robe and people sitting in the church and this, this duva and the smoke and all those things. We never think of priests doing anything more than that. You see, and we all like the church building. We all like to sit inside, come to church, enjoy the service. And there's a priest there ministering to you. And so just come and go. But you see, look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 16 when he talks about what a New Testament priest is all about. He says here, to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God. Isn't that amazing? Paul is saying, hey, I am ministering as a priest. I am ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. My role as a priest is to give the gospel. That's a very interesting picture to have. We never think of priests like that. And then he says, so that my offering of the Gentiles, What does a priest have to offer? We always think of praise, and we always think of offering ourselves. We often think of offering songs and offering the money and giving money and all these things. And here Paul is giving us a very amazing picture. He says, hey, so then my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable. Different picture we get of a priest here. It's amazing how the scriptures itself interpret scriptures for us, and how we need the, this kind of pictures for us to see what we are called to do as a priest. You see, the biggest tragedy in the church today is that they don't interpret the Old Testament correctly. They don't bring it out to the new. And that's why we even have priests today wearing white robes, for heaven's sake. Are we so blind that we need the white robes to minister as a priest? We even have separation in the church, and we call a holy place. How can we accept such things? It's just because we are blind. It's a terrible thing when we keep quiet. Paul didn't keep quiet. When he saw people twisting the scriptures, and I believe we should do as well. We are called to offer souls. You see, when we saw last week, we saw about the miracles of Jesus. It was so widespread, because he was inaugurating the kingdom. He came and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now I want you to see, there are two ways you should see what these miracles were all about. Please listen carefully. You see, because Jesus Christ, he was actually performing miracles like anything. So many people were being delivered from demons and healed of sicknesses and raised from the dead. You see, it was like there was a flow of miracles. And you need to see there were two things happening here. If you don't look closely, you'll miss this, you see. Because on one side, Jesus Christ was inaugurating the kingdom, proving himself to be the Son of God. The miracles were a witness to the fact that he was the king. And he reigned. But in the midst of this widespread miracles that happened, you would have noticed that he was also performing miracles to draw people to himself. There were certain miracles inside this whole big thing happening through which he was actually drawing people to himself. When he wanted to touch that paralytic man who was brought down from the roof, he didn't heal him all at once. In fact, the first words that he spoke to that man was, son, your sins are forgiven you. Can you see that Jesus Christ was doing something more in this person than he was doing with all the other miracles? And if you don't see this, you don't realize that God is doing something specific, not just miracles left and right. Those miracles happened, but very few even understood who he was. And yet we find out through these specific miracles that he was drawing people to himself. The woman went and touched Jesus, and she was healed of her disease. And you know what Christ told her? He didn't tell her, you're healed, daughter. He said, your daughter, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Something happened to you that you don't even realize. When you touched me, it was not just that power was coming out of me. You were being drawn to the kingdom. And yet after all the miracles that he did, he was crying out and saying, if only these miracles were done in Sodom and Gomorrah and other places, they would have repented long ago. You think it was a waste? No, it was judgment. Because in spite of these mighty miracles, they did not receive Jesus. So the same way, even today, please understand, two things are happening. Sometimes God does mighty miracles, mighty signs and wonders takes place just as to bear witness to his words. The apostles prayed, Lord, let you confirm your word with signs and wonders. Of course, God will bear witness to his word. Signs and wonders are not against the gospel. They are witness to the gospel. Of course, the gospel is not signs and wonders. The gospel is the cross of Jesus. The gospel is power of God for salvation. And yet, God does these signs and wonders to bear witness to the truth. But remember, at the same time, even today, sometimes God is doing miracles to draw people to himself. When God sends you to a place, and when God tells you to pray for a person, you can be almost sure that that person is being brought into the kingdom of heaven. You know why? Because God had seen him before. And he's sending you there for a purpose, not just for you to heal his disease, for you to be a vessel to bring him to the kingdom. Because he is ready for repentance. So please, on one side, there are miracles happening all over the world. And on the other side, we see specific miracles through which God is drawing people to himself. And you better understand that. God can use you and me as a tool. Every time you pray for a person, it may be there God may use you just to heal him. But remember, sometimes God is sending you to bring a soul, a lost soul back. And heaven rejoices. So you see, you need to understand this about the kingdom. Jesus Christ used the term kingdom frequently. The apostles used it very less. Why? Again, a valid question. Because you see, Jesus Christ was actually continuing the promise that he gave to us, that God had given to Israel of the coming king. They knew. They were waiting for the kingdom of David to come. The Jews were all expectantly waiting. You see, there was a longing. And so he had to preach about the kingdom to them. But remember, he started by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus spoke about the kingdom frequently, but remember, listen carefully, he also had to correct their perspective of the kingdom. That is why he used the term so frequently, because he had to change their perspective they had all this while. That's how he began the Sermon on the Mount by saying, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, because yours is the kingdom of heaven." Why should he start this way? Because this was what he wanted to change in their perspective. They did not know this. And he was working hard to change them. He used parables left and right to teach them about the kingdom. One time he told them the kingdom is like a mustard seed that grows like a large tree. Mustard trees don't grow like large trees. There were mysteries he was telling them, and he kept on telling the apostles, "You have been given understanding about the mysteries of the kingdom that has not been given to the people outside. To you has been granted the mysteries of the kingdom." He told them at one time, "The kingdom is, how can I like the kingdom? The kingdom is like a woman who takes yeast, leaven, and puts it in her flour, and soon the entire thing, you see, is touched." What amazing truths Christ is saying. On one side, he talks about the kingdom expanding and becoming bigger, but it is bigger than it actually is seen from the outside. It is not what you think it is, by the way. There is a false kingdom within the true kingdom. He speaks about the wheat and the tares and says it is bigger than it actually is. Don't be fooled when you see huge masses coming to the revival meetings, for heaven's sake. Of course, God sends revival. I don't at all deny that. But I also realize that Jesus was not excited with the crowds. And he used verses like this: "The kingdom of God is taken by force, and the violent are forcing their way into it, for heaven's sake." Of course not. He was saying that just to show that something was happening, but not really happening. The people thought they were in. They were forcing themselves in by receiving the miracles. But the miracles did not bring them in. Only repentance would have brought them in. And there were huge crowds, violent men taking hold, forcing their way into the kingdom. Oh, if only we realized the context of those verses, you see. You think people are running to come to Jesus? But we are so trying so hard here to bring one soul to Jesus. I wish this church was full. And of course it can be full. And yet, people are not running, rushing in, banging on the door and saying, "Let me in, let me in." For them is the opposite. They're saying, "Let me out, let me out. I came to the wrong place." People who come to this church don't last very long sometimes, you see. Some churches they do, but in this church sometimes people feel very uneasy after a few sermons they hear, you see. Maybe after a month they get all fidgety if they have come for the wrong reasons. That's why we don't quickly go in and meet people and you see and show great enthusiasm because we want to see what's inside them. You may say, pastor is not excited about people. You see, some churches, the pastor is right in the door. Your pastor is sitting in the corner even after the service is over. What is this? Is he a lazy man? We are waiting to see. This person comes back. Because they're not coming. They're not supposed to come for us. They're not supposed to come because we make it all nice and beautiful for them. We don't need to lay a red carpet for them. They come because they are in need. And they need Jesus. And if they can't find Jesus here, what more do we have to give to them? You must say, it's a strange church, pastor. Yeah, it's strange. See, Jesus Christ had to really correct their perspective of the kingdom. And he worked very hard. Even to the end, the apostles couldn't understand. They were saying, will you at least now restore the kingdom back to Israel after the resurrection? It's amazing, isn't it? How blind we can be. The mother of John and James was even more smart. Oh, Jesus, she could see more than the apostles ever saw. He said, Lord, at least when you come back, this guy didn't believe that he will ever come back. At least she believed that he will come back. So when you come back in your kingdom, please point my son on the right and the son on the left. What great faith she had, by the way. To commend her faith. You see, but for the Gentiles, there was no need to present the kingdom message like that. That's why we hear the apostles preaching, speaking very less about the kingdom. Because you see, the kingdom always means power and glory for everyone. And yet we have to realize that that is not for now. The kingdom is here, but in a very subdued way. That's why Paul has to use words like this. God's power is being perfected in weakness. Because if we preach the gospel to the Gentiles just like that, we give them the wrong picture. Because we tell people, just come to Jesus and get everything. Everything will happen to you. Just come and be blessed. Of course, the kingdom in its fullness will bless us in every way, but that is not for now. Because Paul says, through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. Why does this history spoil the mood here? Through much suffering, you will enter the kingdom of God. What are you saying, O Paul? And then Paul said something very striking. Listen carefully. He said like this, unless you die with him, you cannot reign with him. You see, of course, in the kingdom, we are supposed to reign with Jesus. The kingdom is not just we finally just doing our role as mere subjects in the kingdom that is to come. We are called to reign with him. Isn't that amazing? So Paul always talks about the kingdom as still future. He said, you have an inheritance, he says. An inheritance regarding the kingdom. He always says, he always talks about something future. Because you see, the glory of it is yet to come. The greatness of it is yet to come. And for now, unless you die with him here on earth, you cannot reign with him in the hereafter. Isn't that amazing? The message today is not about the power and the glory. Of course, there is a power which I will tell you right now. But the power of the gospel is different. Because when we present the kingdom power, we give the wrong picture. That's why the church doesn't use the word kingdom too often. It's not supposed to. Well, you can. But give the proper message. The proper message is this: unless you die with him, the Jews, they couldn't accept it. Neither would many here today. You see, so please don't present the crown without the cross. Don't give them the false gospel. Please present the true gospel. And what is the true gospel? The true gospel is that the cross is central to our living a life that is pleasing to God. The true gospel is that God has forgiven our sins and given us new life. But this new life is because we have been joined with Christ. It is not a blessing apart from Christ. Every blessing flows out of you being joined to Christ. It has restored us back to God. His forgiveness is huge, huge. Because it has restored us back to God through the cross. But listen, something bigger. The thief is not only set free, but the thief is given the strength not to steal anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Accept that this morning. Do you believe that the power of the gospel is not just that the thief can set you, that God can set the thief free, but that God can release you enough so that you don't have to steal anymore? That's the power of the gospel, my dear friends. So my message is titled The True Gospel, Deliverance and Freedom. What is this deliverance? What is this freedom? We may be delivered from demons. We may be delivered from all our bondages. What else are you being delivered from? You see? See, I really want to stress on the fact that the power of God works in us to set us free. The kingdom does not consist in words but in power. So my prayer for each one of us, because I know myself how much the power of God worked in me when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and how I was set free from many things that I could never be set free from. So I pray for each one of you that the power of the gospel, the demonstration of the Spirit happens in your lives. If that doesn't happen, you are a poor Christian. How long will you struggle to live the Christian life? You need the power of God to set you free. I don't know how many here have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I just don't know. But I'm sure more than half of you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. And why? The message is clear. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Can just two and three of you, can, Sunil, can you just go and just pray for Shiny right now? Just is in the back. Just two of you. Sujit, can you also go and just lay hands on her, please? We need the power of the gospel being manifest among us. Let's pray for her right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Karabala Radaka, set her free, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray for the release. I pray for a release in her body, soul, and spirit. In the name of Jesus. You alone can do this, O Lord. You alone can set her free. Oh, God in heaven, how can we be free unless you don't set us free? Oh, God, we come to you right now and we receive the power. Oh, God, we receive the power that you want to pour out into our lives because of Jesus. Oh, God in heaven, touch us and heal us and deliver us. Jesus. Oh, Rabala Rabaradaka Shikiri Miliradaka. Hallelujah. 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 Set her free, O Lord. Set her free in the name of Jesus. Oh, God in heaven, you can and you are willing, O God. You can and you are willing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You see, there is power when God delivers us. This deliverance is not escape from sin or hiding from sin. This deliverance is saying no to sin. You see, someone who is not saved is a slave to sin. But we are no longer slaves to sin. I hope you understand the message of Romans chapter 6. If you have not read that chapter, please read it. It's the greatest chapter ever for you to know about what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. It says, when you have been baptized, you have been joined to his death, you have died to sin. You are dead to sin and alive to God. If there is true salvation, a work of power has happened in our lives, my dear friends. This body of sin that we carried has been taken away. And Paul says, don't you know? Don't you know that you are no longer slaves to sin? You, if you have died with Christ, you are now alive with Christ. So you see, when we are saved, a great power has come on us to release us from the bondage of sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. But what does it mean? It means now that we have a choice, a real choice. We are free either to sin or not to sin. See, if you walk in the rain without an umbrella, what's going to happen? Yes, you will surely get wet. But if you have an umbrella in your hands and you still don't use it, you are still going to get wet. You pass the interview, job is waiting for you. It is still left to you to decide whether to take up that job or not. You see, please don't be fooled by thinking that there's nothing you need to do and that God is doing everything. No, 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 no. If you're no longer slaves to sin, then you have to offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness. You know how many people are not even willing to forgive believers, not even willing to forgive others? The most basic revelation that we need from the gospel is that God has, because God has forgiven us, we need to forgive others. Shiny, my message today to you is forgive. Don't hold back forgiveness. The job is yours, and yet sometimes believers are still struggling to offer their bodies as instruments of righteousness. You know what Paul says at the end of chapter 6? He says, you will not get any benefit if you don't offer yourself as a slave to righteousness. That's the true gospel, my dear friends. That's true deliverance. True deliverance is not you just sleeping in your bed and God saving you out of all your bondages. The greatest deliverance is when we believe in what God has done for us and we receive the power of an indestructible life. You see, the greatest power is not God working in us, on us on a physical level, but God granting to us the resurrection power of Jesus, which is available only to those who die with Him. It's amazing how we fail to die to many things. See, to our own flesh, to our own ego. You know why God is telling you to obey your leaders in the church? Not because the leaders are something great, but because you need to die to yourself. Of course, the leaders tell you to do something that is against God. You don't have to do it. But it's sad when we carry rebellion in our hearts towards leaders who God has placed over us. We tell them to do something, and they will think twice about it. Today, people are scared to ask advice from leaders. Forget about getting advice. We are scared. No one should tell me what to do. When you see a pastor, you run the other way because you're scared if you ask something, he tells you something to do, isn't it? Oh, pastor, don't give me things to do. I am already burdened enough. I got a job, I got children, I got grandchildren. Now you're telling me something to do for the church? Please, spare me. You see, unless we submit, unless we die, the men are walking like peacocks, telling the women to submit to them. What about us? You think you're independent? We should be just sit on our wife's head. You want them to submit? What about us? Whom are we submitting to? Let me close by saying this much. The freedom that we have is not a freedom just from sin, but it gives us a freedom to love. To love freely. Isn't that the greatest thing that can ever happen, my dear friends? A love that does not fear losing anything. Why do we don't love? Because we fear losing something from our side, isn't it? A love that does not lead to hold back. A love that does not expect anything in return. That is freedom to love. That's true freedom, my dear friends. If you search the letters of Paul, you will realize that Paul is not talking about the freedom deliverances on a physical level, because of course it happens, but he's going to a far more bigger thing when he says, hey, you will be strengthened with all power in the inner man. Strengthened with all might to attain all steadfastness. You search letters of Paul and Peter and you see where the word power comes. You realize, talking about a different power, the power of a changed life. The power that can be perfected in weakness. It's a sad thing when the church stops with just talking about the power of the physical. What a tragedy. When we present half the gospel, I've seen church after church after church just preach a gospel of God doing physical deliverances and physical blessings. And don't go into the greater power of the gospel. Oh, my friends, if only we knew what we are missing. We don't see the power working in us, the resurrection power. Even there we think about physical miracle. I'm telling you, it's so sad. When we talk about resurrection power and still the only thought that comes to our mind is our bodies getting healed. It's the power of an indestructible life. Let me close by saying this to you, my dear friends. The greatest power, listen carefully, the greatest power is not when we believe what he can do, but the greatest power is released when we believe what he has done. You see? Because it is not in God working the miracle directly. You see, the greater power you will taste only when you cooperate with him, when you put faith in what God has done. why Paul keeps on repeating many times in his letters, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Oh, we want God to touch us directly, but my dear friends, the greater power is released when you believe in what He has said. And that's the tragedy today, when we wait for the power to fall on us and we forget and we fail to see the power waiting to be released as we believe in the truth of what He has done for us. We have to put faith, my dear friends, faith in the working of Jesus, faith in what Jesus Christ has done. That's the only way for us to taste of a greater power. Can we pray, please? Father, we look to You at this time, knowing that You are sovereign over everything. And yet we know that You are waiting for us to put our trust in You, waiting for us to believe in the power of the gospel, waiting for us to see the glory that can be released in our lives as we believe in what Jesus Christ has done. Oh God, help us to see these things. Help us to understand these things. Help us to grasp these things. Resurrection power that is available for those who are willing to die with Jesus. Because if we die with Him, we will live with Him. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the message of the cross that is there is a salvation for us, for those who believe. Yes, we receive the miracle. We receive the miracle, the power that can remove the bondages from our lives. And we wait for the greater miracle of a transformed life. And to this we commit ourselves, work in us, O God. May we cooperate with Your Spirit. May we accept the message and see these things happening, being worked out in our lives for a greater glory. Thank You for this time. Your blessing be upon Your people. We bless You and we praise You once again. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. I can see Sister Lily there in the back. You can just greet her before you go. She's leaving on Thursday. And you can just say hi to her. And hope she will come back to visit us sometime, God willing. Thank you all for being here this morning.